Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So for today's episode of BDA Baby, we are going to be talking to Kelty Knight. She's been very open recently about her entire health journey and also her recent hysterectomy, which is a major surgery removing the uterus. And we're going to talk to Kelty all about that, her journey to get to that decision and how she's feeling since then. When we were kind of going over different people and different like subject matters to have on for BDA Baby, since we changed this like format and now we're doing recordings, which is so much nicer and more convenient, especially for guest schedules.
Yeah.
When I saw your name, I was like, oh, awesome. Like totally blah, blah. And then I saw hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. Why are we talking about a hysterectomy? Because you're so young. And then of course I did a bunch of research on the whole subject and saw everything that you've been going through. I mean, that's crazy because you're 42, right?
Yeah, it's really wild. And like, thank you so much for having me on, first of all. I know the show is so popular, but I think this is like a level unlocked that people don't talk about, because hysterectomy for me was like due to a medical condition. But as I've been open about my journey, I've heard from so many women that are like, oh, I am finished having my kids and now I'm taking care of myself and having this surgery, or I wish I had done it all these years earlier. And then people who need to have a hysterectomy but do an egg freezing cycle before so that they can still have children. Like it's a complex part of this whole baby world. So I'm very thankful.
I mean, I'm grateful that you're coming on, because there's not also like, I mean, I think that you're great. And also I think that the subject of hysterectomies is not one that's a popular one to talk about. It's one of those things that it seems like we're talking a lot about on BDA Baby, which are these subjects that aren't sexy, aren't glamorous to talk about, but people are talking about them to help other people, which is incredible. Yeah. And then you look at the amount of people that are talking about hysterectomies specifically, and that's very limited, almost no people. And when I even think about the people that I know in my life who've had hysterectomies, I mean, I know one person that's had one and she's way older than you.
Yeah.
But you talked a little bit about your medical condition. So just to backtrack, just so people understand how you got to, because a hysterectomy isn't like an easy thing to come to or an easy decision that you take lightly. Let's talk about like how we got to that decision.
Yes. So I've had horrible periods since I was 12 years old and got my period. I remember staying home from school and people being like, she's such a wimp, because like there's just so much like shame around your period when you're young. You don't understand it. You don't know what's going on. But I've just had horrible periods my whole life. And into my late 30s, when I started going through perimenopause, my periods got worse and worse, like just really heavy, like a lot of insane swelling in my abdomen where like I couldn't wear certain clothes. Like it was, sometimes I would look like 6 months pregnant. I mean, it was just so bizarre. But I never like sought help for it, because I was sort of under the impression that I think a lot of people are under, which is, oh, to be a woman is to suffer. Like your period, horrible periods are just part of having a period. Like it's, you're supposed to feel like you're going to die. You're supposed to feel like Voldemort has come and like sucked the life out of you, right? Like you're supposed to need to take 2 sick days every period because like you cannot function. And so that I put on the shelf. Then, you know, a few years ago, it's really been a decade, but really a few years ago, I just started feeling extra, extra horrible. I had this mind-numbing fatigue where if I wasn't at E! News hosting the show, I was in bed from like 7:15 at night until 2 p.m. the next day. And no amount of sleep was enough sleep. I was losing the sight in my eyes, so I couldn't read the teleprompter. I was everything was so blurry. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see my phone. And like my eyes are perfect. I've never even worn glasses in my life. I had weird rashes. I had hives. I just felt so off that I started going to the doctor being like, something's off. And I got completely medically gaslit. My first doctor said, oh, you have chronic fatigue syndrome. You're just always going to be tired. The other doctor was like, every single part of your blood test, they take 14 things, came back, you're super normal. You just need to meditate. You need to like, maybe you need a better work-life balance. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's my fault. My bad periods are my fault. And now this like mind-numbing fatigue and that I feel like I'm going to die every day, this is also my fault. If I ate more greens, did more yoga, I was a better woman, I could handle this, it would be fine for me. So eventually my friends were like, honestly, you're not good. Like my hair was falling out. Like they were like, you should really go see my guy. My girlfriend, Christina, she's one of my best friends. And she had this doctor that had helped her when she lost her late term baby. And I went to him and he was like, you are very unwell, but we're going to get you well. 60 pages worth of blood work, a deep, 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 deep dive. Like tests that a normal doctor does not do. And basically, I went full force. I went with this homeopathic doctor, my gyno, my surgeon, and an oncologist. And over the past 3 years, we found out that I have this very specific type of anemia that cannot be treated with like iron pills. I was even getting iron infusions for a long time. My body has a blood cell that is just smaller than other people, and it doesn't hold on to healthy blood. So, but no one, we were going through this and no one was doing the correlation of like, well, wait, hold on a second. These bad periods, losing all this blood, these bad periods. So I got all the doctors together on a phone call and they were like, well, if you're not having kids, then we should stop your period, because we're giving you all these blood transfusions and iron infusions to keep your blood healthy. And every month you're losing everything that we put in you. And that's why your levels are so low. My ferritin level, Catherine, was 5, and it's supposed to be over 200. Wow. So they put you in the hospital when it's 12. But of course I was like, no, I have to go to work.
Yeah.
So a little bit of it was my fault. But anyway, so they finally decided, okay, we're going to stop your period because you're losing so much blood and your body is not holding on to it anyway. So then hysterectomy is obviously not the first choice. The first choice with every woman on the planet is birth control. And yeah. I don't know about you, but birth control for me has been a nightmare. The few times I've tried all different types, low hormone, blah, blah, blah. Every time I go completely nuts, it does not agree with me whatsoever. So I was like, I don't feel like hormones and birth control is something I want to do for the rest of my life, by the way. Like there'll never be an off time. Then they suggested progesterone pills. They were like, well, if you can just do progesterone, a lot of people do this, it lightens your period, it can make it more manageable. I tried for 5 days. I had cystic acne that was so painful and intense that I was like, okay, well, in normal life, this would be hard to deal with for the rest of my life, but I'm also on television, right? So it's like, you know, nothing worse than going to a red carpet or doing a big appearance and having like a huge zit in like, you're like, I'm old enough to not have zits anymore. So, and I also didn't feel good. Hormones are just not good for me. So then the next chance is to get an IUD. Couldn't have an IUD. My pelvis is tilted a weird way after the MRI. The next thing was to do an ablation surgery, which I actually learned about on my podcast, Lady Gang. Sharon Stone came on and she was like, oh, you have bad periods. You should have an ablation. I was like, what's an ablation? Do you know about an ablation?
No, well, I mean, I don't think everybody knows about ablations. Okay. I've heard of ablations because I talk about this space, but please tell us about ablations.
So an ablation is essentially they go in with this like umbrella type thing and they essentially burn off the uterine lining that builds up and makes kind of scar tissue. So you're unable to like build a period and it takes your period away. There's some complications with it. Sometimes it comes back or it's not an easy, easy thing, but it's a very much easier than a hysterectomy. So that's always the first option that they go to. And then I have the MRI and they realize, oh, well, my uterus is, of course, troublesome, heart-shaped. It has a little septum in the middle that splits like the left and right side. And when you have this septum, some women do, it's perfectly normal. The ablation like umbrella thing won't get to all the parts that it needs to. You'll still have a period. It's not going to help. So the only option is a hysterectomy. So that is how, sorry to be so long-winded, but that is how I ended up from anemia to hysterectomy.
And so it seems like since this was you're saying a 10-year long journey, and then yeah. especially challenging the last couple years before you decided to go the hysterectomy route. You're also very busy. You're in front of the camera. You're talking. You're working a lot. This is something that you were open with about close friends, but showing up to work, putting a smile on your face, sounds like you were also in debilitating pain, which I think a lot of women can relate to this idea that periods are supposed to be painful. You're supposed to be laying in bed. Even with pregnancy and postpartum, it's like, oh, those are supposed to be incredibly painful. And like, it's as a woman now, especially because we're talking about things so openly, it's like, at what point do you go to the doctor? When do you say like, this is not normal? Or do you have a friend that says to you, this isn't normal, you need to get help? What was that like for you to be showing up in all of these different places? I mean, I saw you last year and I would never have known that was... So doing that all behind closed doors is very challenging.
Yeah, I mean, for me, 100%. And like, we have to give our women more compassion and more grace to ourselves. And the reason I really want to be so public with this hysterectomy, it's not a sexy thing. I'm in my 40s. It's like, I feel like you said, like the ladies who get a hysterectomy, it feels like an old lady thing. Like, oh, it's an old lady surgery, you know? So it's not sexy to be like, I'm a host of E! News, but also have a hysterectomy. Like I really would have rather not talked about this, but I wanted women to, like you said, like when something's up, whether it be postpartum or their periods or whatever it is, like you got to investigate, you know? For me, I was really good, like you saw in person. And I'm really good at faking it. Like I can turn it on when it was work time, I turned it on. And then I think when I started to really realize that I couldn't go on like this, it was when I looked around and it was like every other area of my life. It wasn't just suffering, it was non-existent. My marriage, like I looked at my husband and I was like, there's no way you like being married to me. Wouldn't go to the wedding with him, wouldn't go to his Christmas party at work, couldn't leave the house for a date, hadn't been on date night in 5 years. No energy. He would come home at night from work, I would already be asleep. I would be asleep when he left in the morning. Like my marriage was not in shambles because he was incredibly supportive, but like it wasn't a great marriage. I wouldn't go to my friends' birthday parties. I wouldn't go to the baby showers. I was a terrible aunt. I never saw my niece and nephew. Like anything that was not work that I had to do because I need to pay my mortgage was completely gone out of my life. And so, and I was like, well, I have this dream life. Like I worked my butt off to get to where I am in my career and my life. And when you work hard, you want to play hard, you know? Like I would love to go on vacation and not be asleep or go to my girlfriend's bachelorette party and like stay up and have fun. And I just wasn't functioning and able to enjoy my life at all. The thing that was the game changer for me is when I started to lose my sight, because then it impacted my job. And I started having a really, I'm like the girl in television, we call it like a cold read. Like I can read a teleprompter. I'm like, do you remember Ron Burgundy from that movie when he just like reads what's on the teleprompter? He's not thinking Anchorman. About what's on the teleprompter. Anchorman,
amazing.
Yeah. Like I'm the wrong Burgundy of entertainment news. Like you can put anything on a teleprompter and I'll do a cold read and I don't need to know what it is. I can give you a read because it's just, I've done it so much. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where I couldn't read the teleprompter at all. I was making mistakes. I was having to retake things. Like it's very unlike me and it was embarrassing for me. So that's like, was the first tell. And I felt like, oh God, no, it's fine if my husband thinks I'm a loser, but not the people at work. Like God, it's so sad that that's the truth, but that was the truth.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
And it was then that you decided to actually go and figure out what was wrong with you, because the medical gaslighting issue is something that as women, we talk so openly about now, but women have been dealing with it and experiencing it for an eternity. Yeah. And you still experience it as you did. You went to doctors who were like, you're too stressed out. You need to meditate. You need to have a better work-life balance, blah, blah, blah. So what was it like for you to find a doctor that was like, you're not crazy. You're not making all of this up. And let's figure out a plan to get you better.
It was and you have to search till you find that person. And you have to, because there's so many women now have reached out to me and they're like, my doctor said everything was fine. I was like, but did they do this test? Like, you have to fight so hard. I went around LA with like this yellow file folder. And I was literally like, here's every blood test I've had in the last 10 years. See this, see this. Like, I was nutso bananas. But when my naturopath doctor looked at me and he was like, you are not well, but you will be well. And I need 1 year. In 1 year, you will feel better. And it wasn't like, take this pill, there's a quick fix. It's this thing. He was just like, we need to start. I started working with a nutritionist. And there was bumps in the road. Like, we started doing this one thing where I drank all this bone broth. I have been a vegetarian for a long time and people are going to say that's the reason I'm anemic. But I was drinking all this bone broth and then the nutritionist did I was a vegetarian who was desperate to feel well, so I drank bone broth. I couldn't eat the meat, but I was like, I'll drink it. And I went to the nutritionist and we did all this blood work and all this testing. And she's like, you're like really, really allergic to bovine, which is beef, which is what's in all the collagen supplements, all the bone broth. So I was literally drinking something that was making me more inflamed. Like, it was a journey, you know? It wasn't just like, he was like, you have a fix, here you go. But hearing him was incredible. And then hearing my gyno get on the phone with the surgeon, she was like, I have the perfect surgeon for you. And when I got on the call with Dr. Matthew Seidhoff at Cedars here in LA, we're on a Zoom and he was just like, hey, like this seems radical, but like, you need the hysterectomy and it's the only thing that's going to make you feel better. And I just started crying. Like, you're just in so much relief for someone to see you because I think this is probably the thing that women feel all the time. It's all sort of a hidden thing. I guess when you're pregnant or maybe you're postpartum, people know that you just had a baby. So they saw that, you know, but for what I was going through, I'm just outwardly still myself. So it was this hidden disability that no one knew about. And so to be seen in that way and to someone say, I know you're hurting, you're going to get better, was really, really incredible. Actually, I was just thinking something very interesting since I'm talking to you. Your super lovely husband, who I just adore, was privy to my two worst health days. I'm just thinking this now. I didn't think about this even before I came on the podcast.
Really?
This is kind of crazy. There was a time, it was maybe eight, nine years ago, he'd done the movie with Jennifer Lawrence, Passengers, and we were at a press junket at the Four Seasons Hotel in LA, and I was so ill. I thought I was going to die. Like, I was so sick. Nothing was making sense. I couldn't, like, everything was confusing. I felt so bad. And I was at that point in my career, very young in my career, I was so afraid to take a sick day because I felt like, oh, this is, by the way, Jennifer Lawrence, Chris Pratt, this is a big interview. You know, these are like two of the biggest movie stars in the world. And I was so ill and I was afraid to take a sick day because I always felt like, oh, if I take a sick day, they're going to put in the next girl in line and she's going to be better than me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lose my job or they're going to like her more. Like, it's just so competitive what we do. And I got up to do my interview and I took a deep sigh and I was so dizzy. I didn't even know what planet I was on. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Chris, I'm having a day. And he was so sweet. And he was like, are you okay, Kelty? Like, hey, like, take a minute if you need to. And I was like, you're on your 900th hour of press. You do not have to like be nice to me. But he was so nice to me.
Aww.
And I remember that because it's one of the only times I've done something what I would deem like unprofessional. Like, I would never sit down with an A-list star and be like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing well today. Like, this is just not something you do. Aww. The second time was that I had a miscarriage. And I was working at Entertainment Tonight and he was doing the Lego movie and the premiere was on a Saturday morning and I had miscarried on Thursday night. I had asked my boss for Friday off and they were like, why do you need Friday off? What's blah, blah, blah. Like, it was such a big deal. And then I finally had to be like, well, I have to have a DNC. And they're like, okay, but you're fine for the premiere, right? And it was like, I mean, it's pretty cruel in my opinion, but I was on that record. I have a picture. I was on that Lego premiere carpet Saturday morning in a diaper, hair in braids because I didn't like, I was too frazzled to even like get glam. And I remember doing that carpet and I was like, nobody has any idea how much I'm suffering right now.
Let's talk about that because that's crazy. So you have a miscarriage. You tell your boss that you need to have the day off to get a DNC, which is a procedure where you need to
like clean out sort of essentially what's left after
of a pregnancy. You're put out for it and you take the day to do that. For a lot of people that are able to, you then rest the next day or, you know, you have people come help you, whatever. You're showing up to a red carpet to be professional because you're not wanting to lose that interview, lose that opportunity, and you're standing on the red carpet in a diaper.
Yeah, I'm standing in like an adult diaper. And because once you have the DNC, like you still bleed for, well, in my experience, like you're still sore, you're bleeding. It's just, it's not like it is done in a second, you know, and you're sore and you're bloated. And it was just so crazy because movie premieres, as you know, are usually in the evening. And this one, because it was a kid's movie, it was like a daytime, like morning, you had to be there at 9 a.m. It was like at 10 a.m. I'm like, what are the chances? But yeah, it was like, I felt like I was getting in trouble for going through this thing and that I was being like shamed into being at work because I would have taken the day. I mean, I'm not usually that person, like I said, but I felt so awful that I would have. And it was like, you're just, again, you're suffering in silence. Like you're not allowed to take care of your body. Like, I don't know what it is about the society as a whole and women who are struggling with their fertility issues and their uteruses. Like, why can't we have compassion for them? Like, you know, what would have been better is for someone to say, wow, I can't believe you went through that. Take the week. You know what I mean? Like, go get yourself together. Like, but there's no compassion. And the same thing I see with my friends that have postpartum or not maybe ready to go back to work after they have their baby. Like, they're just forced to do this thing and there's no support. And it's crazy.
I mean, wow. We're so behind in our country with women's health, of course, but especially with anything that is fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, pregnancy loss related. It's, you know, you look at other countries and how they treat women and mothers, and it's very different. And I think that for a lot of people to hear that you had that sort of shame or feeling that like, this is something you have to do. You're very professional, of course, but that's more than that. That's deeper than just like saying, oh, I don't feel well and I'm trying to show up because I feel like, sick and I have to show up.
Right.
Like, this is a big procedure you went through that's not only a procedure on your body, but it's also taxing mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And then you're also processing the fact that you just had a miscarriage, which it doesn't even seem like you were able to process.
No, I didn't process it because I wasn't at the time, like I wasn't trying to be pregnant, have a kid. Mm-hmm. So it was very early. It was one of those, you know, 7 week, 8 weeks where you're like, you've missed your period, but it's not that far along. And so also there's that whole thing of like, oh, well, if it's not at 12 weeks and you haven't announced it yet, then like, who cares? It's not that hard on the woman, you know? And you're like, well, it's still pretty emotional. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, that's why I had so much fear around being open about this hysterectomy and work, because literally, and this is the first time I told this story, I was chief correspondent at E! News and I knew they were looking for a host, but I never really put myself up for it. I was like, well, they know where I work. I literally work with them every day. Like if they want me, they know where to get, they'll just knock on my dressing room. So like, I hadn't like asked my bosses or like did the agent like fancy Hollywood thing. I literally just was like, okay, it's fine. And I had gone home to see my brother who suffers from bipolar disorder. And I try to see him like once a month or every couple months. And so I was doing family time. It's always a little bit stressful because I got to go up and get there quick and then come back for work. And I was sitting on his couch and I had my mom and dad over for lunch and my brother, and I was telling them, guess what? I'm having this hysterectomy. I hadn't wanted to worry them too much. So I'd kind of kept them in the dark about how much I was suffering. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have it. We're thinking this date, blah, blah, blah. I swear to God, Catherine, I get a text from both of my bosses at E! News. They're both named John, John Redmond and John Pasquarella. And they're like, hey, can you FaceTime real quick? It was a Saturday morning. And I was like, sure. I'm like, think I'm getting fired. And they're like, guess what? You're the new host of E! News. And I was like, oh my God, wow, amazing. And then I didn't know what to say because I was like, well, wait, I need all this time off for this hysterectomy. Like, they're not going to want to, they're going to take it back because, and then so I'm like going in the kitchen and I'm like, mom, it's my bosses. I'm the new host of E! News. And she was like not looking happy at all either. She was really worried. So we hang up and then I get a text from the Johns and they're like, are you not excited about this? And I was like, no, no, there's something I need to tell you. Like I'm sick and I have to have this big surgery and the timing, I'm going to need 3 or 4 weeks off. And like, this couldn't be worse. It's okay if you want to get someone else to host. And they were like, absolutely not. Like, wow. We love you. You're the host. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this. Let's make a plan. And so they made this plan that they would announce it. I would work 2 weeks and then I would go have the surgery and then I would come back. And like, I actually took an extra week off, which was so scary. I don't know why I'm so PTSD about it. I was like, I'm not ready to come back to work. Like I can barely walk. I'm still really in recovery. And they were like, take another week. You're good. And my job was there when I got back. So wow. I don't know.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
What a difference for you. I mean, you look at the stress that you were under with having to show up in a diaper to a premiere and then fast forward to you get a huge promotion in your career. And also you're like, listen, I have something that I, you know, I actually medically need to take care of for myself. And you're open and honest about it. You communicate about it and yeah. Your job is still there. It's met with compassion and empathy.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big difference for you.
It like makes me all like emotional.
I mean, it's a really big, think about how far that like you've come in those two stages or those two instances. I mean, you could look back at your career and say, you've worked so hard, you've come so far. But when you think about like what you're doing and what you're dealing with behind closed doors in those two specific instances, that's major. That's huge.
It's wild. And it's so interesting because standing up for myself, standing up for my health, taking the time off I needed to heal, life gets better every single day. So I wonder if I had been brave enough to stand up for myself and focus on my health back then, would I have not suffered for so many years? You know, who knows? But that's the reason I wanted to talk about it. And I'm so lucky to have people like you that are doing this work, that are giving us people platforms to talk about this stuff that is so deemed shameful and people don't talk about, because I want women to go out and do whatever they need to do for themselves. Because in my knowledge of what I've learned, like the job will always be there. The thing will always be there. It's not that big of a deal. It seems so important, but like the only thing that really makes your life great is your health. Like you got to really put that oxygen mask on yourself first before anything else can fall into place. Your marriage, your family, your life. Like if you don't take care of yourself, it all still swirls around you, but it's a disaster, you know?
If you could go back to your younger self or for people who might see themselves in your journey, if it's hysterectomy related or just dealing with health struggles as a woman at various phases in your career. I mean, you were hungry for the success of your career. You were on a clear mission to get to exactly where you are today, interview the people that you needed to interview, show up, be professional. For people who might see themselves in that, who are putting their health on the back burner, afraid that their job is going to get taken from them if they're open and honest, what's your message for them?
I think that it's all a big, I want to be the kind of person that says, health is first. You have to be number one, like I just did, and then everything else falls into place. But I think there's a middle road of work, like balance. And I think it's like you, as hard as you're working on your career or your family or whatever that thing is that is your passion, put as much energy into your own health and your own wellness, whether that be mental, physical, whatever. You know, just make sure that you're having the same amount of time, passion, hunger for your own well-being as you are for the job. I don't think you can put the job at zero and put your health at 10 and just completely forget that you have to pay bills and that's not realistic. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wish it was that you could just be like, bye, I'm just gonna do a health journey for a year. But like, we live in the real world, we have to pay our bills. So if work is a zero and health is a 10, or health is a zero and work is a 10, neither one of those are good. It's somewhere in the middle of, as hard as you're working on having the right outfit or getting that promotion or finding the love of your life or, you know, getting that new apartment, make sure that you're investing as much time, energy, passion into making sure you feel right, fueling your body, doing therapy, setting yourself up for success with your fertility. On the Lady Gang podcast, this is something that we've been talking about for 10 years, is that Becca, who is on my podcast, is one of my co-hosts. We didn't even think about being fertile until we were like 32, because we were like, oh, we're doing career. And then you turn around at 32 and you're like, wait, what? This is way harder than I thought. And so it's like making a plan for your life in your 20s and figuring out what that's like and getting everything set up in your health so that you can have the life that you want. And so you're not turning around at 35, 36, 42 like me being like, oh, okay, well, it's going to be way different because I didn't even think about this for 20 years.
Do you look back at those two stories that you mentioned and also where you are in your health journey and feel proud of yourself?
I feel very proud that I took the time to have this surgery and to heal, because I feel so much better. Like, I am alive. I've been a zombie for so long. So I feel really proud, because I was really scared to like have someone fill in for me. And what if they're shinier, newer? The network is like, oh, wait, we didn't even think about you. Bye. You know, I mean, this is a very cutthroat business of Hollywood, but I think all women feel that in their own lives, in their own, like, there's always just someone waiting in the wings, you know? So I feel really proud. I feel embarrassed that I wasn't strong enough to stand up for myself back then. I remember that morning at that premiere as such a low, low. My hair was falling out. So I was wearing for a long time, like just like little milk braids, as like trying to be cool, but like it wasn't cool. And I have the braids, and I see that picture in my photo roll all the time. And I'm wearing this ugly sweater because I like could not like get in an outfit. And I just, it's such a pivotal moment for me that I was like, I never want to feel that helpless again. So yeah, I feel proud. I feel happy it's over. I feel inspired by the outreach of women across the world that have reached out to me. I feel proud of myself for speaking out about it. And I did my first Pilates class yesterday, and I didn't wake up like really sore and didn't rip any stitches out. So I feel really excited about that.
I mean, I was going to ask you, because this surgery is like not
huge.
It's a huge surgery. And also, I mean, you're removing an entire organ, and
yeah,
you're also, you know, there's a healing journey, but also you had this like, what, 2 months ago? Like, it's...
Yeah, I'm just at 7.5 weeks. So...
Like, how are you feeling? I mean, I know you just went to your Pilates class, which is amazing,
yeah,
but do you feel like a huge difference?
Oh my God, it was brutal. It was the worst surgery. And Reddit doesn't even do it justice. I was on so much on hysterectomy Reddit, like getting the right pillow and the right, you know, they were... And so... The surgery is brutal. My surgeon was like, well, you're going to feel awful. We took out an organ and stabbed you 5 times. And I was like, oh...
Wow.
So the first 2 weeks, my mom came and stayed with me. I'm really close with my mom. You get that. And like literally tea helped me fart, like yoga poses, like did my laundry for me, like just helped every, like I could not do anything. Week three, I was like, okay, I can walk a little bit. Week four, I started to think I could do things and then I would overdo it and I'd be back in bed. And week four was like an emotional roller coaster. Like all of a sudden when I got over the really terrible physical stuff, my mind was like, oh my God, I don't have a uterus. I'm not a woman. Like it was just so wild. And then I've just been healing up and they clear you at 6 weeks sort of for sex and working out. And I tried to do a workout at 6 weeks and I just felt terrible.
Yeah.
And I was still really sore. I couldn't even think about having sex. I was like, no, do not touch me. There is internal stitches in here that like, I was like, but just this past weekend, I really started to like, I was like, oh, I think I'm okay. Had sex. I wasn't as bad as I thought. Like I was like so nervous. I was texting my girlfriend and I was like, I call it my sex pocket, which like I don't say around my husband because that's obviously such a turnoff. But like I texted my girlfriend. I was like, sex pockets open for business. Cause it's a pocket now. It goes and then it closes. Like there's nothing in there. I was like, I'm going to try out the sex pocket. And she was having laugh about it.
That's so
And following up with me. And then I was like, I feel good. And then I signed up for a reformer class. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And I actually did pretty good. So I'm on the up and up. I'm really excited.
So it sounds like you're feeling more like yourself, like you're not as exhausted.
Everything.
Wow.
I went for my last blood test a week ago. My ferritin that was at 5, which was like critical, is at 164.
Wow.
So my doctor wants it to be over 200, but I mean, I'm on my way. And the difference is bananas. And a lot of times, Catherine, they don't test your ferritin at a regular blood test for a lot of doctors. You just do like when you do a CBC panel or CDC panel, they test your iron and sometimes your hemoglobin, but not often your ferritin. It's more of a specialized test. And the ferritin can be, I would have a normal level of iron in my blood at times, but the ferritin is what holds on to the healthy iron and stuff in your blood. And if that's low, the iron is just going to go through you. I'm not a doctor, so if that's completely wrong, just know that that's what I think went in my brain that they told me, but I'm probably wrong.
I mean, everybody, you know, is responsible for doing their own research.
Yeah, so it sounds like they're well, Kelty on the BDA podcast told me that the ferritin holds on to the molecule. I'm like, no.
I mean, I think the message of just like being thorough with your health, being thorough with your blood tests, also being an advocate for yourself. I mean, it sounds like it's something that we say all the time, but it's, if you look at yourself, for example, as somebody who, had you not been an advocate for yourself, had you not been going around with that huge file of all of your blood work, of all of your data on yourself and everything and going to doctor, you wouldn't be where you are today of being able to feel good, having got the surgery and on the up and up.
Yeah. And I was pretty ruthless. I was like, what's your phone number, doctor? Like, I was like, I want to call you. Like I was, cause it's interesting. Even in our Lady Gang Facebook, we have like a secret Facebook group with like 30,000 girls in it. And today someone was like, hey, Kelty, I've been thinking about you. And I messaged my doctor on the portal and like, this is what I got back. And I'm so frustrated because it just seems like this auto reply. And I was like, it's not that your doctors don't care about you or that they're not good people that are trying to do like the Lord's work, if you will. The system is set up against them. They see too many patients. They're so busy. There's no way they can possibly know what to do with you in like a 10, 15 minute appointment. And so, yeah, a lot of all these messages are automated and it's not a real conversation. And I was like, absolutely not. Like, I will have your phone number and I will be calling. I mean, I was respectful, but I was like, I need you to call this doctor. This is their phone number. And like, you need to discuss. And like, that's not something they offer you. You know, I really fought for it.
When I've watched a couple of your interviews before we talked today, and you've said it a couple times today that the idea of losing your uterus or removing your uterus makes you feel like you've lost your womanhood.
Yeah.
That's obviously a huge statement because you're 42, you know, on the up and up for health, young, vibrant. And yes, you had a major surgery to remove your uterus and you don't get your period. But the idea of, for mentally, the idea of like, you're not a woman, is that something that you really believe? Is that something that you're experiencing or struggling with when it comes to the hysterectomy?
Definitely, yes. And it's not so much like, I'm not a woman, but there is this feeling of, I didn't necessarily do what I was put on earth to do, which is deep-seated inside of us, deep in our DNA genetics from the beginning of time, to be a mother, you know, to procreate, to have babies. And so there's a grappling with, I will never have a pregnancy. I will never have the cute beach photos of you in the flowy dress holding the baby belly. I will never experience what it's like to give birth. I will never look at a child and see pieces of my husband and me. I won't have a wedding to go to when my child gets married. I won't. Like, there's just a lot of
loss.
The pieces of life that are, it's not even a loss because it wasn't that I had my heart completely set on that version of life for myself, but we're told as women, you know, this is what you do. You get married, you have babies, you're a mom. And like, if you do something else, great. But there's, you know, there's the Oprahs of the world that go on to be amazing and not have children. And I'm not the first childless wonder, as I call us. But most of my friends have kids. Most of my friends are frazzled and are like, I can't see you because it's baseball weekend. Like, I don't have that in my life. And so it wasn't that I'm not a woman. It just, my version of womanhood and what the rest of my life looks like is going to be very different than someone like you that has kids. It's going to be very different than what society sort of tells you is a normal life. And my co-host back on Lady Gang said to me something so beautiful. I did an episode on my whole journey. And she said she ended up being allergic to progesterone, which is crazy, and she had multiple miscarriages, couldn't have a baby full term. And then she ended up being very open with us on the podcast about her decision to have a surrogate. And so she has her baby, her 2-year-old Ford, who's freaking amazing, but she had a surrogate. And I said, do you feel weird that like you never got to have the baby bump, like that you never had birth, like you never had any of these experiences? Like, you're going to be on your deathbed being like, I wonder what it would be like to like give birth. And she goes, I think that life is like an amusement park and you're just going on a different roller coaster than I am. And I'm going on a different roller coaster and I'm going on a different ride than someone who gets to have their baby and, you know, birth their baby themselves. She's like, your ride is much different than mine. And like, it's still exciting and there's ups and there's downs and it's crazy, but like, it's just a different ride. And that brought me a lot of comfort. I don't know why. But yeah, it's a different type of living your life as a woman, you know?
Does that feel even more real to you now that you've had your surgery?
Yes. When I had my first non-period, like I was like counting the days, and it's weird. I kept my ovaries, so I still have like a period. So my boobs are sore. I was kind of like excited about a chocolate dipped Oreo, like all the things that like normally happen around my period, but I never had a period. And when that happened, I was like, whoa, it was kind of fabulous, to be honest with you. But I was like, oh, this is like, there's really nothing in there. Like it's gone, you know? It's an emotional thing. I do all the things, therapy, journaling, like, and I was really excited to feel well. So I don't regret my decision at all. There will always be a sense of what if, you know, what if this wasn't my journey? What would that look like? And again, there's no magic spell. Like I can't take back what's done. It's you know what it is, Catherine? It's the finality of it. It's like, it is really done. Like it is gone. Like there is no uterus. Like that finality of it will hit me sometimes when I'm lying in bed at night. Like it's just very final.
It's such a vulnerable thing that you're choosing to be so open about it. And it's helping so many people. It's also, I think you're processing everything in real time. So
yes.
It's a lot. I think you have such a great community of people that are there for you and help you, and also know that being open about this helps people, and being an advocate for encouraging women to be advocates for themselves in the medical space is also, I mean, so needed. So
huge.
Thank you for taking time to do this and for being so well-spoken about something that is so new and fresh in your life. I mean, my goodness.
Thank you. Oh my God. I adore you. Congrats on everything.
Thank
I love the podcast.
You.
This is great.
Thank you. What an awesome conversation we just had with Kelty Knight about her, really her entire health journey, not only her hysterectomy, but also the emotions that come with removing her uterus, also the choice to not have kids. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And I really commend Kelty for being so open about her experience. It's not glamorous. It's not a sexy topic to talk about. And she is putting herself out there with the intention of helping other people, which is always admirable. So thank you so much, Kelty, for joining us today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.